ladies, Isaiah chapter 19. We are going to go to a different passage tonight. I had a missionary lesson entitled The Ultimate Missionary, all about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the ultimate missionary, and settled for tonight. But the Lord keeps bringing me back to something that's been on my heart that I preached about a couple of Sundays ago, talked to you about last Wednesday night, and in just my daily devotional reading, something was shown to my heart from the Lord out of Isaiah 19 that I want to bring to your attention tonight, all right? Isaiah chapter 19. Father, I pray that you'll bless our look into your book tonight. Strengthen us. Lord, I pray that your word will challenge us, God, please, in this particular area about which we will speak this evening. And even help us now. We're without you, we are nothing. So, Lord, just guard our hearts and help us, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to concentrate in and be of one heart tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Before I get into reading some of the verses in Isaiah 19, this section of his prophecy contains several chapters written to nations and even cities about God's pending judgment on them. Nations like Assyria and Babylon and Philistia and Tyre and Egypt and others are mentioned. And even the city of Jerusalem is mentioned. And when you read through this portion of Isaiah, you'll find the judgments start with the words, the burden of. So you got the burden of Assyria, Damascus, the burden of Jerusalem, the burden of Tyre, the burden of Babylon. And here in this chapter, in chapter 19, you see it's the burden of Egypt. That's how the chapter begins in the first four words. So this is God's judgment. This is the burden Egypt is going to bear, okay, because of certain things, and God is going to judge it. So he says, the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. And the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set, now here's what I want you to notice. I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight everyone against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. We'll stop right there for the moment. Now I want you to look at what he said here. He said, Egyptians against Egyptians. Brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, kingdom against city. What words were repeated over and over again? The word against. Against, okay? Now look at that list again. Egyptians against Egyptians, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, kingdom against city. Is there a familiar sound to that list? It's a pretty close description of what is going on right now in our own country. And remember, this is a result of God's judgment on a nation, on the nation of Egypt. And we are experiencing all of what is mentioned about Egypt here in this chapter. Americans against America. I don't know that I've ever in my lifetime seen our country so against itself. Divided. Horribly. Brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city. You got liberal cities against conservative cities, kingdom against kingdom. You got California and New York against Texas and Florida. And there's against all throughout our country right now. Now, look, I know there's nothing new under the sun. I know our country has experienced difficult times in decades gone by. We've experienced riots and civil war and assassinations and demonstrations. But in my lifetime, we've not experienced the anger, the ugliness, the vitriol, the against in my lifetime that we are seeing currently displayed. I don't watch the news. When I pick up the headlines on a few of news websites on the phone, or somebody will say, did you see this? Did you read this article? And I mean, I don't know if you saw where the president was touring in New Jersey and New York, the flood damage up there, and these people are screaming at him. Screaming at him. And cussing him. And you know, folks, look, I obviously don't agree with our president and just about everything that he does, but I don't know that anybody's ever treated a president that way. In football stadiums all across the country this past Saturday, in college football stadiums, they were using vulgar, profane words about Joe Biden in a chant. We've had some pretty poor presidents, but I don't remember that happening. That anger, okay? I saw, this doesn't concern America, but the prime minister up in Canada was out campaigning. He's called for a snap election. He was out campaigning, and people threw gravel at him. When's the last time you heard that happening? I mean, people are angry. People are angry, okay? And fighting in stadiums, fighting in restaurants, fighting in streets, fighting on airplanes. You know, I flew a couple times recently to North Carolina and Oklahoma. Was kind of hoping that maybe something would bust out on the flight, you know. But unfortunately, nothing ever happened there. So, you know, one of our guys, you know, with facial hair was flying recently, and he couldn't quite get his mask to fit on his face, you know, with his facial hair and everything. People around him were upset because he couldn't get his... But it just... That's what's happening, right? It's against. We don't have an outdated book. I know this is not talking here about the United States, but it's pretty interesting what God said about Egypt. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 3, the result of this turmoil. Look at what he says. He says in verse 3, "And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof." The spirit of Egypt. The morale, the spirit of the nation of Egypt, the country of Egypt, will fail. The word fail means to pour out. It means to empty. So the spirit of the people of the nation of Egypt will be poured out. The spirit of those people will be emptied nationally. The spirit will flag. Remember that Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, Solomon asked the question, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" If the spirit of a country is emptied out, if it's failing, if it's wounded, how will that country bear up? How will that country bear up in difficult times, through difficult circumstances, if the spirit is wounded? And the spirit was failing because there was this, this angst, this against each other. My opinion, this is just my opinion. Jim Vineyard said, you can't sell potatoes on your opinion. And I agree with it, but people have opinions. In my opinion, America is experiencing some of the lowest morale that it has experienced since the Carter administration back in the 70s. The spirit of our country is failing. It's poured out. It's being emptied. And my question, what nation, America included, can bear up through difficult times with a failed spirit? At every turn, we look around and we see things going backward. And you know, you get enough of that, eventually it takes a toll on the spirit, the morale of a nation. It happens. I'm going to give you some random thoughts on this subject tonight, and they're not all negative. And how it plays into what God has just really burdened my heart about the last several days, okay? First of all, I want you to notice, this is what happens to any entity divided against itself. This is what happens to any entity divided against itself. The spirit or morale of any entity will fail. It'll be emptied out. It'll be poured out if the entity divides against itself. And I've said before, Jesus said as much himself when he said, and I'm quoting now, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Now listen carefully. Any entity facing difficult times can be sustained through the difficulty if the entity, if the spirit of the entity is not wounded. Does that make sense to you? So here's any entity. It's facing some difficult circumstances, some difficult times. It can bear up. It can get through. It can push through difficulties if the spirit is good. But a divided entity will produce a wounded spirit And any entity with a wounded spirit will have a difficult time bearing up under pressure. And that's the truth. This is true about a nation. It's true about a family. It's true about a business. It's true about a church. It's true about a school. Division causes trouble. It causes trouble. And anyone in a leadership position in any of those areas, if you're a leader, if you're a parent in a family, if you're a leader in a Sunday school class, if you're the pastor of a church, if you're the head of a business operation, you know, you've got to put a priority on making sure that division is cut off. Let's put the rest, because if it's not, it will cause the spirit to fail. It will cause morale to fail. A church especially needs to avoid division. You remember that in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he mentioned their divisions in chapter 1. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, stop. Put on your thinking cap. How many problems were in the church at Corinth? A lot of them. Over and over and over. We got immorality in Corinth. We've got an abuse of the Lord's Supper in Corinth. We got all these things going on in Corinth. And yet the first thing that Paul mentions, the first problem he deals with, is the one of division. Division was the first one he dealt with. He said in chapter 1, verse number 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, if you listen carefully to that verse, but the word "same" is used three times in that one verse. Paul said that there be no divisions among you, but instead of divisions, the same, the same, the same. That's the first thing he dealt with multiple problems in this church. Why was the problem of division mentioned first? Because that problem has the potential to kill the spirit of a church. And if the spirit is wounded, that church has a wounded spirit, it's going to have trouble bearing up through difficult circumstances. Division. And by the way, I'm preaching freely tonight. My point is not division. I'm not preaching against division here. Thankfully, I believe we're pretty much, but I'm headed somewhere in just a little bit. Now, what's the opposite of division? Unity. Okay. So I'm not going there now, but I will in just a few minutes. Okay. So I'm going to talk about that matter of unity. So number one, I said earlier, I've got to find my notes here because I want to say it just the same way again. This is what happens to any entity divided against itself. Any entity divided against itself, it's going to result in a wounded spirit. The spirit failed in the midst thereof. All this anxiety, all this against, all this ugliness, all this vitriol, all this hatred, all this anger, and here was a flagging spirit. The nation was divided. Now, number two, let me say this tonight. Cruel, inept leaders are part of God's judgment on a nation. Cruel and inept leaders are part of God's judgment on a nation. Look at verse number 4. Look at what he says here. "And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, at the time that Isaiah gave this prophecy, Egypt had not yet been divided into kingdoms. But that would happen not long after Isaiah's prophecy. Egypt would be divided up into 12 kingdoms. And listen to this. This is historical. Eventually, one of those leaders, Psammetichus, would conquer all the others, and he would rule with a fierce and cruel hand. Exactly as God said, because whatever God says always happens like he says. So here was this fierce and cruel king. That was a part of God's judgment on the nation of Israel. And you know what, folks? Look, we could be experiencing that very same thing in our own country right now. Our current leadership is an empty suit. I'm not trying to be ugly. I feel sorry for the man. I don't know why they keep putting him out there. It's like, I feel sorry for him. And those around him are not much better. What we are experiencing now could very well be a bit of God's judgment on America. Look, I know that's not very encouraging to hear, but you know, you can put your head in the sand or you can face reality, one or the other. And we don't need to hang our heads or throw in the towel. Neither do we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I still am glad to be an American. I still love living in this country. I still feel like there's something to live for inside this country. But we're in a mess. We're a mess. And part of the mess is just the division and the low morale that's a result of that division. And then you've got leadership that is inept, and that's part of God's judgment on the nation of Egypt. Could be that that's part of God's judgment on us. But number three is where I want to finish tonight, spend the rest of my time. Here's number three. This is where I'm going to come back around to the subject of unity. Here's the good thing. People will look, while all this is going on, while you got a nation divided against itself, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, nation against nation, okay, kingdom against kingdom, while all that's going on, people will look to a higher power for help. Look at verse 3. Verse number three. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. Stop right there. Along with the spirit of Egypt being emptied, the counsel of the leadership was destroyed. In other words, the people lost confidence in the leadership. Hello. The wisdom will forsake the leaders. Their policies will be considered foolish. They'll be absent of common sense. I'm not saying we were wrong to pull out of Afghanistan. Truth of the matter is, folks, you know, just remember, the Soviet Union went into Afghanistan in 1980. And they were there 20 years. And they left without accomplishing much. Because Afghanistan is what it is. It's tribal. That's the mindset of those people. And they're a fierce people. We spent how many years over there? Soviet Union spent 20. We spent 20. And we didn't get much accomplished either. But the way we left, a third grader could have figured that out. It's not right. Something's wrong with that. And that's what happened here in Egypt. The spirit failed, and God destroyed the counsel of the leadership. Those in charge. It was like wisdom forsook them. It was like their policies were foolishness. Okay? Now, when the confidence of the people wavered in its leadership, the people realized they needed help. And what did they do? Look at the rest of the verse. Verse number 3. And they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. Why are they seeking to idols? Why are they seeking to charmers? Why are they seeking to familiar spirits? Why are they seeking to wizards? Because they've lost confidence in the leadership, and they're looking for help. And who's going to get us out of this mess? And they're right to look for help. They're just looking in the wrong place. Looking in the wrong place. People here in America, I believe people here in America are looking for help. I really do. So many of them are looking in the wrong place. How many of them believe that Donald Trump is the answer to what we need? Look, Donald Trump may make a better president than somebody else, but he's not the answer to what our country needs. You know, and how many of them believe, you know, we're going to flip the House, we're going to flip the Senate? Well, that all depends on those voting machines. First of all, but is that really the answer to our problems? Is that really where we need to be seeking? How many of them believe that, you know, if we could just get these COVID mandates lifted, you know, get out from under the oppression of all this stuff? And I agree with you. It's overdone. Okay. There's a virus. It's a bad virus. If you've got pre-existing conditions, you're on a fever, stay home. But sick people cover their mouths, not well people. That's how God set it up in the book. The leper went around with his mouth covered, not the well people. So, but we're looking to the wrong answers. Politics is not our answer. And this is my purpose for this message. God is. God is the answer. And the answer, this is even more specific where my heart is. The answer is not just the blessings of God, but God Himself. himself. Flip over to chapter 64, same book. Chapter 64, okay? Isaiah, you know, the first 39 chapters are pretty much judgment on nations and Israel and Judah, Jerusalem. And then the last, the last 27 chapters are pretty much comfort to the nation of Israel. It even begins in chapter 40 with comfort ye my people. But look at what he says in chapter 64. Look at Isaiah's prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains, in the Bible, mountains is often used to represent kingdoms, governments, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy mercy, at thy grace, at thy judgment. Tremble at what? At God. Verse 3, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. There it is again. At the end of verse 1, at thy presence. The end of verse 2, at thy presence. The end of verse 3, at thy presence. Verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. We need God. That's what we need. People without God need God. People without salvation need salvation. People that are saved need God. They need God's help. They need God's presence, all right? This is what we and that's the thrust of this last, I guess, message before. I'm not speaking for a while after this, and it just worked out this way. Sundays, Brother Bowman, and through Wednesday night missions conference, and then we got Brother Coral, and I'm doing Brother Coral a favor. He's a friend. He was coming through and asked if he could pray. Yes, come pray. And he had good Bible messages, and that's good for us. So I'm not preaching for a while. So this is it, okay? But this is what's been on my heart. This is the thrust of our prayer emphasis this month. We need God more than we need lower gas prices, more than we need better leadership in Washington, D.C. We need God. Only God fixes this. Okay? The answer in verse 1, you know what the answer is? The answer is God. Now, it says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. You know what the answer is, folks? The answer is God tearing a hole in the floor of heaven. That's what he's saying. Rend the heaven. You know what rend means? Rip it open. Rip open the floor of heaven and come down to bless us. Not with blessings. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with yourself. And this is where unity comes in. Unity. You don't get unity by saying, hey, y'all get along now, you hear? I mean, you ever had a family reunion and all the little boy cousins are outside and, you know, and they're out there, and boy, they're picking at each other, and maybe the girl cousins are out there, and they're... Grandma hollers out, hey, y'all, get along out there. Here? What's that going to fix? But, you know, down the south, when I was a little boy, we had our cousin get-togethers. Hey, boys, girls, when we get all these pine cones picked up out of the yard, there's going to be an ice cream sandwich for everybody. Guess what stopped? All the fussing stopped. All the bickering stopped. All the fighting stopped. And all of a sudden, we're a bunch of happy cousins working together for a common what? A common goal. For an ice cream sandwich. That's what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what it was. What kid wouldn't like an ice cream sandwich? Josiah's shaking his head. And this is what's been on my heart. 2 Sundays ago, I preached this on the message on them. One accord. I'm not preaching against division in our church. I don't know that we, I mean, I'm sure we have people that have differing opinions. But folks, you don't get unity. You don't get unity by telling everybody, y'all get along. You get unity by getting everybody headed in the same direction for the same goal. I've used the illustration of Curtis Hudson being on that coon hunt. The men in his church said, Pastor, come on a coon hunt with us. And they took off down to South Georgia, had a little trailer. Some of you men, know you've seen that some of you men had the little trailer there and three or four coon dogs in there, those blue tick coon dogs. And they had to stop at a gas station for some coffee and stuff and pastries for breakfast. And Dr. Hudson said he walked around the back of that little trailer with those three or four coon dogs in there. They were snarling. Snarling. He said, my goodness. They got back in the truck, drove on down to the place where they're going to go on the coon hunt, and they turned those dogs loose. And he said it was within minutes. Those dogs were all baying in harmony. One of them was on melody. One of them was on tenor. One of them was on bass. They were all in harmony together. They were all in harmony together because they were after one goal. They were on the trail of a coon. And folks, this needs to become our heart's desire. Our heart's desire. That same desire needs to be in all of us. We need to be of the same mind and the same. Look, folks, anybody can meet. Anybody can organize. Anybody can have a song service. Anybody can do the things that we do. A lot of places can and do that, including places that have none of God's presence anywhere near them. How many places does His presence conquer the kingdom of darkness's power? What we need, it's not what we need, it's who we need. He is our need. And His presence, His presence is our plea. It has to be. And if you're not on the same page here, get on it for a month. And let's beg God to do a work here at Faith Baptist Church. This is the focus of our prayer emphasis for missions conference and the fall program. Oh God, that You would come, that You would bless our services, that You'd bless our efforts. Be with us. You'd be with us in our fall program, in this missions conference. You know, I've enjoyed praying on the phone the last couple of days with my prayer partner. I'm praying with a child. I love it. Because God hears the prayers of children. I love to hear the simple little request. And when you pray on the phone together, I hope you've done that. If you haven't, I just didn't get it. Well, you only missed 2 days. Jump in. This is what I'm talking about. Same mind. Same heart. Same passion. And when you pray, oh God, please, please come and visit our services. Please visit our efforts. Please visit this program. Please visit this missions conference. At the cottage prayer meetings that you go to this Saturday. Look. It's too inconvenient. Well, you know what, folks? It was a little inconvenient for Jesus to hang on the cross for 6 hours. I don't know what to tell you. But if we're not willing to be a little bit convenient for the cause of Christ, I don't know what we're going to be inconvenienced for. You know, shame on me. I get inconvenienced. I'll go sit in 15 degree weather, 20 foot up a tree in November waiting for a deer to come by. That's a little inconvenient. But I'll do that in hopes that a deer will come by. And one did a couple years ago, and he's going to be on the wall here pretty quick. Amen. But we get inconvenienced for things that we want real bad. It's just a matter of how badly we want it. If you're so remote that you can't get to a cottage prayer meeting, call somebody else who's remote. And at the cottage prayer meetings, our request is for God to visit us. Don't forget that. That's our request. Now, unfortunately, none of the staff guys, we're entertaining the missionary families at 6 o'clock this Saturday night, and we're not going to be available at 7. We're going to have a prayer meeting right here after the meal, so we will pray. And then the next 3 weeks, I will be at a home. And so will the other staff guys. But we're together this Saturday night. But man, I'm just excited about the fact that people are going to do this. But this is our request, that God comes to visit our church. Pray that God will visit our missions conference. Because here's the thing, folks. When God comes, His grace comes. When God comes, His power comes. When God comes, His mercy comes. When God comes, His truth comes. When God comes, His love comes. When God comes, His wisdom comes. When God comes, all of His attributes are counted in as well. 100%. We sing a little chorus. Christ is all I need. We don't sing Christ's love is all I need. We don't sing Christ's grace is all I need. We don't sing Christ's mercy is all I need. We sing Christ is, because all those attributes come with Him. This is what we need. Okay, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse number 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's right. Nobody can be against us. You know what I say? Amen. Not even us. Not even ourselves. If God's here, there's not going to be any against in Faith Baptist Church. It's going to be the same. We're off to a good start. A lot of people got some promises. Promises don't always come true. Okay? But you know what? Max invited his brother, and Bennett promised he'd come. And Bennett, you kept your promise. We're glad you're here tonight, man. You're a promise keeper. Seriously. A lot of people don't do that. That's a good start. Let's get after it. Amen. Same mind, same passion, same heart. What we need is God. We're not going to fix this country. But God can. And if God doesn't fix the country, He can keep us right. And you know what? If we have unity and we have a good spirit, we can bear up through infirmity. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Get him through it. These difficult times around us may not change, but if we have the right spirit and a good spirit, a spirit of unity as a church, as a family, we'll bear up through all this. Amen. It doesn't have to squash us. We can be overcomers and come out on top. So let's be busy the next several weeks in begging God to come, bring His presence to our church, on our church's efforts, in our church's classes, in this conference, in our church's services. God, we need You. Rip a hole in the floor of heaven and come visit us. I can't think of anything better than that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for Your word. Lord, just in the casual reading of this book, Your spirit jumps off the pages and grabs our heart. It helps us see things from the past that are very relevant for today. And God, we are in a mess. And it may be part of Your judgment on us, the leadership that You've given us. And certainly we've lost confidence. But Lord, we're needing help, but we must seek the right source of help, and that's You. And I believe other people, Lord, are seeking for help, and they don't know where to look. And that's where we come in. We get to point them to You. So, Father, would You please help us by coming and bringing Your presence here in ways, God, that will make a difference in people's lives, in our lives. Two men tonight asked prayer for other men to be saved. Lord, Your presence in a service, Your presence in a witness, be the difference in that man getting saved. Lord, please visit us. Tear a hole in the floor of heaven and come be in our services and in our efforts to serve You, because You are who we need. You, Your presence. That's my heart's prayer. I pray, Lord, for us to be on the same page, same mind, same passion, same heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me just ask tonight if there be anybody here, Pastor, You know, I'm seeking for help. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't know any of that. If that's the help I need, that's what I want. Can I pray for you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. If you're not sure that you're saved and you feel like you need help, can I just ask prayer tonight? Ask God to help you. Just slip your hand up in the air, take it right back down. If you're not sure that you're saved, anybody like that here tonight? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pianist begins a song of invitation. Are you on the same page with us? Are we of the same mind? Are you of the same heart? You have the same passion about this? Do you? Do you have a prayer partner? Can you make it to a cottage prayer meeting? Can you go and spend 10 minutes this Saturday night? Can you call somebody if you can't attend the meeting? You got that little green and black and white strand wrapped around your keychain. What's that for? That's a reminder. Oh God, we need you. We need you. We need you. Please come. Please come. Be our portion. Be our help. Tear a floor in the hole. Tear a hole in the floor of heaven. And come be in our services. Be in our bus visitation. Be with our soul winning visitation. Our classes, our conference this week. God, just be here. Just be here. Same mind, same page, same direction. That even in difficult times as a nation, as a country, when things aren't the best, it causes the morale to flag. I'm glad that God's people can look toward heaven and beg His presence and His help. And that's what we want to be busy doing. Praying together. Get your little prayer prompter. Get you one of those little strands of pipe cleaners. Get you a prayer partner. Miss a meal. You say, well, I didn't get to sign up. All the places were taken. Well, join. You know, just join in. Miss a meal somewhere. And beg God for His presence. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the time in church tonight. Lord, please, our plea is You. That's our prayer. That You'd rip a hole in the floor of heaven and come, and that we could be at Thy presence throughout these next 4 weeks. Lord, pour out Your presence upon us. And all that we do as a church and family, we'll thank You for it. We love You. Thank You for all that You are to us. Now, go with us. Give us safety on the way home. I pray and ask in Christ's name. Amen.